Good afternoon. This is the conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the GVS First Half 2026 Results web call. All participants are in listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to everybody, and welcome to the first half presentation of GVS. A quick snapshot on the number. 3.3% organic growth versus the previous year, with sales at 215 million. EBITDA at 55.4 million, so +2.2% versus the previous year, with a 27% margin. An improvement of 62 bps versus the first half of the previous year. Interesting to notice that we have an acceleration in Q2 at 29.5 million with a 26.8% margin. Of course, Q2 is always one of our best Qs, but it is interesting to see this movement. 23.8 million of adjusted net income with 11.1% margin and a net financial position at 239 million, with a leverage ratio of 2.2. Now we go into the division. We can see a nice growth in all the divisions. We have a +2.1% on healthcare, +2.4% in energy and mobility, and +8.2% in safety. That brings our sales at +3.3%. Adjusted EBITDA, as I mentioned, at 55.4, +2.2% versus the previous year. 25.7, so a 62 bps margin expansion versus previous year. Net financial position that from 268 million decreased to 239 million with a leverage of 2.2. Now I leave the speech to Guido for some more detail on this number. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Massimo, and good afternoon to everyone. Let's comment now variance analysis of revenue in the first half of 2026. The first effect we comment is the FX. We have a negative impact of 7.7 million negative FX. This is mostly related to depreciation of U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar account for 6.5 million out of the 7.7, and it's mostly related to the effect we already registered in the first quarter, because in this second quarter, the negative FX impact is just 1.3 million euro, and we expect this trend will revert into positive in the second part of the year. We already have a positive print in the month of July 2026. Volume grew 2.7 million euro, so +1.3%. Then we had a positive impact of pricing of approximately 2 percentage points, and Marco will then comment in the following slide the reason of this extra price performance. If we move to the next slide, we have the performance of the single division. First positive remark is that all the three divisions posted positive organic growth in the first half. Also energy and mobility that get back to positive growth in this half. Starting from healthcare, the most main contributor for the growth of healthcare and life science is the transfusion medicine that recorded a growth of almost +11 percentage point, +10.9. It's also in acceleration, the trend of transfusion medicine compared to the Q1 of 2026, where the growth was 7.9%. Safety is always very stable, well above 8% year-on-year growth. So continuing the performance that was that registered in the first quarter of this year and in the previous quarter. And then, as already mentioned, Mobility division is back to organic growth and registered in the first half 2026, a positive performance, excluding effects of plus 2.4. Now I leave the floor to Marco to discuss the EBITDA.
Thanks, Guido. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. EBITDA, we said we went from 25.1% on the left of the slide to 25.7 on the right portion of the slide. So we increased by around 60 BPS our margin. In the EBITDA in absolute terms went up from 54.2 to 55.4, being the main reason pricing. In the first half, pricing went up year-over-year by 2%. It was 1.5% in Q1. The reason of the increase was that we reacted immediately to offset raw material pricing going up due to the geopolitical scenario, which in the end is not affecting our P&L and our cash generation due to our strong and fast reaction. You see other minus 2.4, there you have the impact of the raw material going up, and you have also some production inefficiencies generated by the movement of the transfusion medicine products production from the hemodialysis plant into our Mexican plants. And then we can go to the second slide dedicated to the financials. On the right part, you see the adjusted net income, excluding the impact of the FX, which is mainly a non-cash item, linked to the intercompany loans. You see, we are going from 26.2 to around 24, and the margin is 11.1%, which is slightly lower than the previous year, and this is due to the depreciation going up, because we have opened, built two new plants in the second part of the year, of the previous year, UK and China. This trend will be reverted over the next few quarters. And now the third slide on the financial is about net financial position. If you look on the left side, the net financial position 12 months ago was 268. Now we are at 239, which means that we improved our net financial position over the past 12 months by around 30 million. It would have been 40 million, but as you probably remember, we invested 10.1 million euros through a buyback of our shares in the second half of the previous year. So, the, let's say, ordinary generation of cash was, over the past 12 months, 40 million euros. If you compare the end of June net financial position with the net financial position at the end of 2025, you see it's broadly flat from 240 to 239. And the reason is that our net working capital, as usual in the first half, went up. You see 21.7 deterioration of increase of our net working capital, which is mainly due to the stock. We are going to recover that, as we have always done, over the next 6 months. And so the net financial position is now, sorry, the leverage ratio is now 2.2 as it was at the end of the previous year. And as for the net financial position, you will see in a few moments, we are not going to change our forecast for the year, so we will recover net of the impact of the voluntary tender offer we executed. We're going to recover, and we are estimating to close the year with a leverage ratio of 1.8, excluding the impact of the voluntary tender offer. Now I can give the floor to Massimo.
Just to comment, it's important to remember that this year the stock is grown also because we protect ourselves from the fast increasing of all the raw materials. So we close contract with the supplier to keep stable the price, at least in the first half of the year. So that's is also one of the extraordinary reasons why this year.
But we will recover that.
Absolutely.
We recover that before the end of the year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So strategic focus and guidance. Nothing has really changed from the last conference. The guidance are confirmed. The news is that the 24th of September, we will present our new business plan, so from 2026 to 2028. And in this occasion, we will share with you our vision for the action and the focusing of the next 2.5 years. But just to, again, for maybe eventually who was not in the last conference, so the MedTech, we are focusing on the subdivision, and we are focusing on the reorganization of the sales team so that we can be more effective on the niche where we believe we have a higher growth potential. Transfusion medicine, the platform is complete, so we now need to step by step accelerate on the sales as we are doing. Safety is continued expansion through new product and new geography. Life science expansion through new customer and new distribution agreement. And mobility, the focus is to keep stable the revenue and grow into the AV related solution. Say that sales are confirmed at low single digit growth, adjusted EBITDA from 20 to 50 BPS of margin expansion, and leverage ratio in region 1.8, as Marco said, excluding the voluntary partial tender offer on the treasury share that will increase a little bit this number. I know that this will be a question that you will make when we open the Q&A section. The reason, the principal reason why we want to keep the guidance beside the result that we had in the first half, it's because the geopolitical situation is still very complex. Third quarter is always a very important quarter for us in terms of results, so we prefer before to do any change to have more visibility on the third quarter. I believe that now we have finished, and so we can move to the Q&A question.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To enter the queue for questions, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen. When announced, please click continue on the pop-up window. If you are connected in audio only, please press star and one on your telephone. The first question is from Christian Hinderaker, Goldman Sachs.
Hi, Massimo, Marco, Guido. Thank you for the time. I want to start on transfusion medicine, where you've internalized production, but also been ramping up in terms of new products. I guess curious as to what was the bigger driver of the growth acceleration quarter on quarter in terms of the commercial and also the industrial actions you're taking and how you see those developing as we go forward.
Well, consider that it's really a question of time. We have, I mean, moving the machine and moving everything and starting the production in our plant from the plant of Amanetics, it's just the first step. Then you have to validate it and to certify all the product code one by one. And so that's take times. And so more product code, more SQ we have validated, more we can accelerate our growth. So this is the reason why you see the difference between Q1 and Q2. In Q2, we have more product code certified and approved that can go out for sales.
Do you want to take the next question? The next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Two questions. One is on the margin protection, which, as you said, was pretty effective both in Q1 and even more in Q2, because we have seen a slight acceleration of the margin progression in Q2, if any, notwithstanding the more tense environment on the input cost. The pricing, as you said, has accelerated from around 1.5% in Q1 to 2% in the first half. So my question is, what's next in terms of protection, your visibility on the protection of the margin also for the remaining part of the year? And then, if I may, also second question is on the trading conditions. On the organic growth, you are performing, I would say, decently, because you have done 3.3%, slightly above in Q1 and slightly below in Q2, but more or less 3% plus in both quarters, let's say. And so I was looking at my Excel. Q3 last year was not particularly strong year on year in terms of organic, was, I think, down. So I don't think the comparison in Q3, which is what you are currently observing, is particularly challenging. Do you want to share with us in general? You have low single digit guidance. You are at 3.3. Do you have any specific reason apart the prudence on the geopolitical situation, which remains tense, but do you have specific reason to identify or to expect a slowdown, maybe, for example, already in Q3 or not? Thanks.
No, I don't have a specific worry about the Q3 or the Q4. It's just a question of prudence. The geopolitical situation is very tense. Transfusion medicine is a brand new division. So I really prefer to move with prudence and protect and confirm the guidance at least until the end of the third quarter, when we will have a very clear and solid visibility before to bet on the final result.
The other first question was about pricing, raw material, and how we are offsetting. I see no risk on that, because we monitor daily raw material pricing and we adjust immediately pricing for customers. So in Q3, for sure, the gains are already, negotiated the raw material pricing for Q3, and we have also done the same job for pricing to customers. So, Matteo, we have demonstrated our ability to react fast. So, don't expect any margin acceleration or deterioration due to the geopolitical situation. So no impact I'm expecting on the margins due to the geopolitical scenario.
If I may, Marco, on this point, how it works the pricing revision? So you go to your customer with a sort of objective delta on your input cost, so they are sort of forced to recognize the price increase because you go with the hard data, or not?
With their data, we give them the right justification. So okay. They know the market, they know plastic going up, so it's something very, let's say, open. So we just explain them how our costs are affected by the raw material trend. We adjust it. So,
you see, if I can add, and if I understand the question of Matteo, is just with few customer of energy and mobility that we need to go with physical paper to show them the increase of raw material or the increase of the labor cost, etc. Majority is just an open negotiation where we explain when necessary the increase and negotiate the increase with the customer. But again, it was not really a discussion. Everybody was expecting this price increase, and everybody made price increase to their customer. So it was, a very common topic on the first half of this year.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Emanuele Gallazzi, Equita.
Good afternoon, everybody. Two questions from my side. One is a follow-up on the guidance. It's clear that you do not expect an impact from the geopolitical scenario on your margin. I was wondering if there is anything else that could impact the profitability in the second half. Otherwise, with this 60 basis point margin expansion in the first half, I think that the high end of the guidance could be the target. Correct me if I'm not wrong. And the second one is on the energy and mobility, basically because we saw a return to growth in the second quarter. Can you just comment a little bit more on this, and do you expect this division to stabilize going forward? Thank you.
So the first question is on the guidance. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear on that. We are not adjusting our guidance because we are waiting for Q3, but this does not imply that we are concerned about the geopolitical scenario or that we are concerned about the comparison versus last year. We gave you the guidance a few months ago. So we said, okay, we are going to revise probably guidance at the end of Q3, but we are not envisaging a specific risk. So I perfectly understand what we are saying. We are saying that our margin here is on the upper part of the range, so it's going up 62 points. Our guidance is between 20 and 50. So I understand your point. But now we are prudent, we are waiting for...
I just want to bring an example. We have a customer in the Middle East, and we had a few containers delivered to this customer, and this container were delivered exactly when the Hormuz channel was closed. And so all the sales delayed because... the ship had to be discharged on the land. All the product had to be loaded in truck and driven to our customer. So this, it might be 2 million, 3 million euro delayed in terms of sales, and that can impact the result. So again, geopolitical situation, it's a very complex. So we just prefer to be prudent and wait the Q3 where we have a more clear visibility. Of course, if nothing is changing, everything's remain correct, I mean at the same standard, yeah, we believe that it can be for sure versus the high part of the
so we know we are doing well.
Yes,
we know we are doing well.
Exactly.
The second question was about energy mobility, the reverse of the trend.
Yeah. Well, what we have seen is that after the Hormuz channel, we had a very strong reshoring in US when before with just the tariffs was just mentioned but was not exactly happening. Now we see a more more concrete reshoring, and this for sure having impacted the result of the energy and mobility.
Very clear, thank you.
The next question is from Anna Frontani, Berenberg.
Ciao Massimo, Marco Guido. Just a quick one on sales trajectory, please. Could you give us a sense of the sales growth monthly shape within Q2? Was growth relatively even across April, May and June, or maybe did you see the trend building or fading as the quarter progressed? And also, what about July? Was it better or worse than the exit rate of Q2?
Ciao Anna. Hi Anna. Okay. No, it's a constant acceleration. So if I have to be extremely clear on this, yes, month by month we have seen an improvement in sales. Of course, you have to consider that we had a nice result on transfusion medicine, so a plus 10% that influenced the result. And we are expecting improvement on this division because, again, as I mentioned before, more product code we are validating and certifying with the customer, more sales we can expect in terms of expansion. But in general, also on the MedTech side, I see definitely more reactive market. So let's say that I am quite positive on what I am seeing now. July have been a good month. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca.
Yes, hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions, okay, if I may. The first one is just linked to what you said before on the MedTech performance, because, you know, as you mentioned before, healthcare and life science was driven, the performance by the transfusion medicine, but on the other side, on MedTech, basically slow down. So if you can comment a little bit about the reason behind this, let's say, underperformance of this segment, and how do you see going forward this division? This is the first question. Thanks.
Okay. Well, for what regards the healthcare, so the MedTech, the core business, again, remember that we still have some influence from the assembled line, and don't allow to read correctly the performance of this subdivision. In reality, the subdivision is performing positive with a nice growth compensating, let's say, better than what we expect the assembler line.
Okay, so sorry, if I understood well, it was related, let's say, the performance to the contract manufacturing agreements you had. That's your
yes.
Point.
Yes.
Okay, and excluding these, sorry, the MedTech, which kind of performance would have done?
I don't have the pure number. I don't know if Guido, you have calculated.
I think with the low single-digit growth, so more in line with overall performance of the divisions.
Okay, thanks. Then if we step back a little bit to the transfusion medicine, as you said before, there is an acceleration. I understood that you are not, let's say, totally happy about, you know, these inefficiencies that the ramp-up of the production had. Can you give us a sense of how this process is proceeding? If you believe that all these, let's call it, inefficiencies are overall solved, or, and let's say, in the end, if you're happy, or you see, let's say, a large room to improve the profitability for this segment. Thanks.
Well, inefficiency are never resolved in an industrial business. Inefficiency is something that you have on your back for all your life. It's something that you fight every day. Now, this is a completely a brand new production. So, of course, it will bring more inefficiency compared with a new one. I mean, just the learning curve of all the operator, the setup of all the automatic machine, etc., that brings definitely a higher inefficiency compared with a consolidated business. So yes, my expectation is that step by step we will improve this inefficiency, and we will improve the marginality also related to this transfusion medicine division.
Okay, because correct me if I'm wrong, today transfusion medicine is basically dilutive, right?
So it's slightly dilutive,
yes,
in terms of margin.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Alessandro, these inefficiencies are expected. It is true that, okay, compared to the last year, we have some, let's say, slightly negative impact on the margins, but knew it. So probably it's going to take at least until the end of the year. Then probably you will not hear of that anymore.
Okay, understood. Then the third question is on the tariffs. The first question is if you are, let's say, still paying tariff in this context. And secondly, have you applied or are you assessing any possibility to ask for the refund? Thanks.
Yes, we already got some money back. In the first half, $700K.
Mm-hmm.
We get the expectation around $800K in Q3. We didn't make comments on that because the positive impact of the tariffs was offset in the first half by US government contribution going down by 1.2 million, because last year in the first half we got some money from the US government COVID related. So last year we got 1.2 million euros for the COVID. This year we got $700K for the tariffs. The impact of the two is negative, and it's embedded. If you look at the adjusted EBITDA variance analysis, it's the last box, the minus 2.4 other.
Okay, understood. And just sorry if I may follow up on the financial expenses that can, you know, you had the impact on the FX gain. Can you, let's say, give me an idea of some kind of guidance for the full year in terms of operating recurring net financial charges? Thanks.
For the net financial charge. Sorry, I didn't get your question. What are you are referring to?
Net interest.
But net interest. Excluding the impact on the intercompany loans?
Yes.
Okay. They are slightly going down each quarter. You can assume 200, 300 K euros each quarter. Because the gross debt is going down.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from a Christian Hinderaker, Goldman Sachs.
Yes, apologies, gentlemen. I had one follow-up and then just a clarification, if I may. Just in terms of the recent depreciation increase, is that a fair run rate we should be assuming now in terms of the foreseeable quarters?
Okay. Yes, if you look at the P&L, that's the rate you should forecast. Yes.
Great. Thank you, Marco. And then Massimo, your comments on the Middle East shipment challenges were a helpful case study. I just wonder if that delay happened from 1Q into 2Q or from 2Q into third quarter.
That was in February and moved it from Q1 to Q2. Yes. Yes.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Chiandetti, Fidelity International. Mr. Chiandetti, your line is open.
Ok, buongiorno. Spero mi sentiate.
Sì.
Ecco. Ok, thank you very much. Just two details. The first one is, could you quantify the euro revenue decline from the dialysis contract in the first half?
No, I don't have that. Yeah, no, but I just...
Okay, because that would allow us to understand the organic growth from everything else. Yeah. The second point is that there has been an acceleration in pricing. The effect has been 2% in the first half, which is great to see. You've been much faster than in 2022. And while you've been fast to act, I wanted just to understand whether this is something that you were able to contractualize in the meantime since then, or this is just commercial action on clients and clients being quicker in agreeing with those pricing. It would make a difference to me. Thank you.
Well, consider that we don't have a great number of contracts because due to our position, is much better for us to do not contractualize our relationship with the customer. And I remember to you that in the healthcare business in particular, when you are in, you are linked to the customer for the life. And so having a contractualization normally take you out a lot of flexibility in price increase and in commercial action. So generally speaking, the relation with the customer in this case is a communication where we increase the price. We have, of course, a negotiation with the most important one, and only where we have a fixed contract that allow us to move the price only, for example, at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year, we have to wait the window of the contract to execute this price increase. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, but how come that this time around the effect has been seen quicker than in 2023? So has the percentage of contract that can be redefined just once a year changed and reduced, and therefore now you are able to change the contract like four times a year? I don't know, but within shorter time periods?
No, in 2022 we were sleeping. We were technically slow in acting in the right way. We have learned a lot from the 2022 lesson, and now we are much more quicker, even as a process and procedure on how to act and how to move and how to control the result versus the 2022. We have learned something in these years.
I go back to the dialysis questions. Is it right to assume that you still had around, between 10 and 15 million of that product that would have had a long tail fading that we need to take into account? And if so, in how many year or month or years do you think that is going to be zeroed?
It will never be zero, as I mentioned in other conference, because we want to support our customer. It will not be so important as is today. And so I don't recall exactly what was the decline that we were mentioning.
I think we will be more precise in September when we're going to comment the business plan, because this is, will be something that we're going to comment.
Make more sense, yes.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen or press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you to everybody. A nice summer to everybody, and we will meet in September for the business plan. Thank you. Thank you very much.